Okay, wait. Before we start, you need to apologize to our listeners.
Why?
Because you said last episode was episode 26, and this is episode 26.
Oh, okay.
It's not the kind of quality control that we have in the Black and Jew podcast, okay?
All right.
So understood. Apologize.
Are we recording now?
Yeah, we're recording.
Screw you. I thought we were off the air. All right, look. Hey, guys. Black and Jew podcast 26. I apologize for saying that episode 25 was 26. That was a mistake on my part. I know you all really do expect a certain level of quality from us, and number jumbles aren't what you know. That's not what
and
we
number
do.
Jumbles are not what we do here at the Black and Jew podcast. Maybe in like a highlights magazine that you do at your pediatric dentist's office, but not here.
Ugh, I'm so sorry. All right, blunder of the century, guys.
Okay, now we can get that, because you know how many fucking angry emails I got because of that.
Really?
Yeah, I got so many.
You guys need to chill. It was only 25 to 26.
No one noticed.
Yeah, no. I know no one noticed.
Well, you know, just making sure. You can be kind of dense sometimes, Reggie.
I don't care.
So what's up with you, my friend? Anything new?
What's up with me? Let's see. Probably one of the most, like, the newest thing that's going on is that, like, my girlfriend has cats. And, like, they're getting bigger.
Really?
Yeah, they're, like, when she first got them, you know, they were, like, these tiny little fur balls. Now they're, like, I mean, they were always a pain in the ass, but now since they've gotten bigger, they're an even bigger pain in the ass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cats can do that. Cats can be a pain in the ass.
So, look, I'm laying down on her bed, and all around me, you just see, like, these quick, like, jolts, just they're running all around the room in one circle, chasing each other, going on top of the furniture, going on top of the bed, crossing over my chest, going back down the floor under the bed, just like in a wild circle, like the Flash, just all around the room, getting on top of bookshelves, you know, running across my chest, jumping back down the floor under the bed, on top of the chair, on top of the bookshelf, everywhere. They're just running in a wild, like, circle in a crazy
frenzy.
So
they're hyper cats. That can be annoying.
Yeah, they're hyper cats. And they're such little assholes too. Oh my gosh.
That's what cats are, fucking assholes, you know?
They have no empathy. Cats are sociopaths.
No, they really have no empathy at all.
I tried to look at the cat and tell him no, but the cat just kind of looked at me like, "What? I don't get it. What's no?"
He's like, "Fuck your no."
Exactly. And like, if you go to Hugo and you tell him no, he'll be like, "Wait, what did I do? I didn't do anything."
No, Hugo could be a dickhead too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
Hugo can be a dickhead because, like, he's very stubborn. Like, today, like, Christine was going to take him out for a walk, and he's like, "No." He's like, "I'm not going. I'm laying here, and fuck you." Look at him. He knows his shame. Look at him.
Cute back little Hugo, back in his little bed.
He's so cute. He's such a cute little puppy. That's why my theory is that evolution made animals cute, because we'd fucking murder them if they weren't so cute. Like, I would murder any cat if it wasn't so cute.
One of my theories is that only the funny cats lived. You know? Like, ever since the internet became, like, a big thing and lolcats became a big thing, we've
only the amusing cats?
Yeah, only the amusing cats, like, passed on their, you know, like, their genes and, like, went on to, like, produce more cats. That's my theory. Like, we only like cats that make funny faces and have weird tendencies that we can put up on YouTube.
I think that's an evolutionary trait.
Yeah.
Like, YouTubeable
cats. Yeah, YouTubeable cats. Like, there's a gene for YouTube right now in cats where it's like, "Oh, humans like this face. Oh no, look at me. I'm on a ceiling fan." You know, stupid cats.
I don't think that's an evolutionary trait for survival when they're on a ceiling fan.
No, it just happened. It just happened. We recorded it and we're like, "Oh, you're hilarious. Come down from that ceiling fan." So yeah. These cats, they have their assholes. And the way I get back at them, they don't get this. I hope they don't, or I hope they do. Cats aren't like babies. You know, you can't traumatize them. Like, you know, like, in the way you could a baby. But, like, there's, like, this little contraption I bought for Haley, and like the cats to make like scooping up the litter box more bearable.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called a litter genie, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like this little tower. You put in like these bags, these dual layered bags. You tie them at the end, and then you scoop and put inside the bag, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like it fills up in about like a week because it's two cats. For one cat, it fills up in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But once it fills up, I like to like I cut it off. Tie it, and then I just start hitting the cats with it.
With the poop?
Yes.
To punish them?
Yes.
Are we going to get animal services called on Black and Jew right now?
I hope. You know what? Like, we could have one as a guest. That'd be great.
And then he'll take away those cats, and then you'll be happy.
I'd like to be...
I like cats, though. I'm a cat person.
No, yeah, cats are cool. Cats are
They're just
actually,
little fucking dickheads.
Yeah, they're just little fucking dickheads. So I just grab it, you know, tie it, and there's like this little ball, like, and I just like smack them with it. And they're like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, that to me is literally the funniest thing in the world. Like anytime I do that, I lose my shit for 20 minutes. That is the best thing in the world to me. Like that...
It's weird how like fucking with your animals can be the funnest thing that the highlight of your day. Like I like fucking with like Hugo got trapped in a blanket yesterday, and he looked like one of those worms from Dune, you know. And he was trying to find Christine, but he couldn't get out, so he just kind of like went around totally confused. It was so it's very distressful for him, I'm sure, but fucking hilarious for me.
I love that so much.
Yeah, I love fucking with animals. It's so much fun. So I had a pretty fun... this weekend was a little bit of a shit show. It was fun, though.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I went to Barzito, right?
Oh, I think I know that place, yeah.
Yeah, where they do the Sobe comedy show. It was pretty fun. It was the way that it's set up, there's a lot of people in the back that talk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like... And then it just got progressively louder and louder to the point that Lamont Stewart was like, no one's paying attention. Like, what's even the point? So he would go into the crowd and like start talking to people with a wireless microphone. And there was like this delay, right, on the microphone that no one who knew how to run the mixing board fucking understood how to get rid of it. So like the first two comics, it was like, so anyways, I'm at my girlfriend's house. And it was just like, we're like, oh my God, this is fucking, it was horrible. And so I'm like, do you know? And I asked the guy who hosts, I'm like, do you know how to turn it off? And he's like, no. I'm like, is there anybody in this place that knows how to run the mixing board? He's like, no, just the owners, and they don't know how. So I looked up I looked up the PDF of the mixing board online, couldn't find anything. So I eventually somehow figured out how to trim the delay. So, you know, there's like delays happen in milliseconds. So it's like you either delay it like say it's like delayed 500 milliseconds, like it'll be a half a second delay, or if it's or it's 1,000 milliseconds, it's a 1 second delay. So I went into this like retarded sub menu that was the worst design mixer ever. And then finally I found all the effects, and then I just turned them off. And
okay.
In the middle of the second guy's set. But it was just like, oh my God. And then the shit show continued. 'Cause after that, I went to go see this DJ.
Mm-hmm.
He's Danny Casarona, I think his name was. He's like this tech house, minimal techno DJ. It was so much fucking fun. Holy shit.
That's awesome.
Lamont and Dennis were there, actually. Because Amory, you know Amory, she works at Treehouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know Amory, right? Amory Lee?
Yeah.
She works at Treehouse, like selling bottles and stuff. So she's like, yeah, come on by. And we went, and I got so shit-faced. You know, it's like South Beach can be such a stressful experience. Like, you ever gone on South Beach?
I try to avoid it. I know.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, there's like this little secluded hipster area, South Beach. Did you know that?
What, like where Radio Bar is and shit?
I think there's a bar called Birdie or something.
Birdie.
Yeah.
You mean Purdy?
Purdy.
Birdie.
Hell if I
You're
know.
You're like an 8-year-old Jewish woman that lives down the street from Purdy. You go to my grandson, I think he goes to Birdie Lounge. Does he go to to the Coco Cabana?
Yeah, I try and avoid South Beach at all costs. I honestly do.
Like, I realize that with me and South Beach, is like it's so stressful until I get to do the thing that I want to do.
Mm.
You know?
I once went to go see like a bunch of DJs that hardly ever come to South Beach, like a bunch of Selection producers and DJs. And everything up until that point was like,
so stressful.
It's, oh my gosh, these people are dumb. Why is there construction? Why are people driving today? I hate everyone. Don't cross the street like that, you stupid IHOP monkey. Just, oh my gosh, I hate everyone.
I feel the same way, man. Like, because I just wanted to see this fucking DJ. All right. So then the show finished, right? And like when I'm like hungry or I'm like tired and I don't want to be somewhere, that situation is made 100 times worse by bad trance music or bad house music. Like, dude, because like, yeah, I was at the show, the restaurant that the comedy show's at turns into a nightclub, right? And like, it's cool for the show because like they got a really good setup there. But then it's like turns into a nightclub and they're just blasting the worst fucking music. Like just, and like, I love dance music, but I fucking hate garbage dance music. You know, it's like, it's like the worst thing ever. And I'm just like, get me the fuck out of here. And then Christine, she got off work late, so she had to go eat. So being the self-centered dickhead I am, just like, all right, this food is just one obstacle getting in the way of me and going to see this DJ. So we went, you know, and we went to this taco place, which is, you ever been to Wawa's on the beach?
Wawa's? No.
Yeah. It's H-U-A-H-U-A. It's Wawa's Tacos. It's fucking the best tacos I've had probably in Miami. It's really good.
I need to check that out.
But then I'm like, oh, we're going to go there. We're not going to be able to find parking. And then there's going to be a big line. And this is going to just another obstacle. But so she dropped me off and I got it. And I went to my friend's house and we started drinking a little bit, which was nice because like that calmed me down. Just got some drinks in me. And then finally we got to the club. And then there was like a problem with the guest list and shit. But whatever, that was not even a big deal. I just paid for my friend to get in. And then we went to go see the DJ. And then I had the greatest time ever.
That's great.
It was quite a journey.
I think like there's probably a chart somewhere where it's like the thing you're doing is on the, you know, on the x-axis, and then on the y-axis is how much bad trance music is actually happening during the thing you're doing. Yeah. So like if you got dentist office and then you have a lot of trance music at the dentist office, that makes the dentist way more unbearable than it really is.
I would kill myself if I had to.
I also, you know, South Beach is a special place because I think you, for to like function in South Beach is like you need to be a certain level of, maybe, you know, you need to be a certain level of horny, drunk, coked up.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have one of those things going for you where you are willing to, you know, also bump heads with someone that is just as coked up, horny, or drunk as you. If you're just like a regular, you know, person that has no amount of inebriation, that is not at any level of inebriation, you cannot go through there and like expect to make it out alive.
Yeah, it's very trying, especially if you're not doing it a lot, you know.
Yeah,
like when I worked in nightlife it was a lot more bearable because I was like used to all that bullshit, but yeah, like, oh god, just fucking, it was just like, god, just get me the fuck out of here. Like I cannot fucking take horrible trance and house music. And it's like, and it's worse, the context makes it 100 times worse too. Cause like before the, like when we were just eating dinner, they were blasting like obnoxious trance hits of 2004. Like why the fuck do you think that this is appropriate music to play when someone is fucking eating dinner? How fucking stupid are you that you think that this is what you should be playing while someone's eating? Like, put on, like, should we put on jazz? No. Should we put on some, like, great classics? No, I don't think so. How about obnoxious trance hits of 2002? Yeah, that seems like what people want to fucking listen to when they eat ceviche. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Can we also have the outdoor fans going on full blast?
Yeah.
And the mist? Oh, yeah. There we go. Atmosphere.
To add to this already humid environment.
That's so, I hate music at restaurants unless it's like, you know, maybe like
there's good music at restaurants.
Like if there's like a live piano going on, I went to a restaurant that had like a live piano player. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. That's fine. That's like, you know, it's to a level, like it's almost like eating. Like it's almost eating for your ears.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
everything's
yeah.
leveled. But trance music at a restaurant, like,
Well, first off, let's be clear here. Trans music in any situation is horrible. There is no context under which trans music is acceptable unless you're 13 years old, just discovered ecstasy, and got a fake ID.
Yes. There you go. That's it. And it's in your iPod and you're doing it by yourself. Like, just that, or with other like-minded people that want some trans
music. Other like-minded idiots that don't know how fucking bad that music is.
So, but like in a restaurant, I hate restaurant. You know what's the worst restaurant experience I've ever had?
Where?
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, yeah. Why is that?
Because they have 18 screens around you, yeah, just all playing different sports, and all those sports noises and sounds and commentary are playing at the same time. I don't know what it is about ESPN, but yeah, ESPN yells.
Yeah, they of course, because like, it's like testosterone sports.
God yelling. Forbid there's like a panel on something on ESPN, because then they have six sports pundits all trying to yell at the same time.
Jesus.
And like, you're in this dome, like the one in Sunset Place.
Yeah,
is
yeah,
an actual dome.
Welcome to the Thunderdome.
It just has a bunch of sports all around you, and like you know, you're jittery and like, oh my gosh, I better get my wings real fast because this is fucking tripping me out, man. Hate that.
Yeah, I like, why, like, there should be ambient stimulation.
Or none.
Like, yeah. But I think ambient stimulation's okay. Like, if you go, if they're playing Billie Holiday at a fucking restaurant, that's fine.
Yeah.
Billie Holiday's acceptable.
Yeah.
Little Miles Davis, you know?
That's not too heavy. That's not, it does, yeah, it's just running just right.
Even if it's like sort of shitty pop music,
yeah,
that's like not too loud or intense, like, okay, whatever. But for the love of fucking God, dear restaurant owners, please, you fucking idiots, stop playing so much trance music. It's like, I guess because like South Beach is like, oh, it's South Beach. It's like, yeah, it's South Beach in a club, not here. But like, yeah, you know, I really wanted to bring Christine to see a good DJ because she's never seen a good DJ before. And I was inspired because...
She's never seen a good DJ.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm finishing my iced coffee.
It's cool. Don't worry. I know.
Let me take this last sip and I'll continue.
Take that last sip. So while Mike takes his last sip. Oh, wait. He's done.
All right. What, are you going to bring up an article or something?
No. We actually have a fan email.
Oh, well, a fan email?
A fan text message. But
let me. All right. Let's.
Go with what you're saying because I still need to find it.
Because what?
Because I still need to find it.
Oh, you're looking for it? All right. Cool. Like Christine's never seen a good DJ. Her only experience was at Ultrafest. And like, also we went out, but what inspired me to do it, and this was a while ago, was during the finals. There's a club within the Heat,
Hyde
Stadium, right?
Yeah, Hyde Lounge.
Oh yeah. Cause you used to work there, like Hyde Lounge. And the DJ was awful. Of course, it was just like a horrible mashup, right? Just rap, like hip hop, pop, all this garbage. And I'm like, man, I'm like, Christine's never seen a fucking proper DJ. I need to take her to see a proper DJ. So we were sitting on the couch. Well, this was really inspired. We were sitting on the couch, and for some reason we were going like, there was this website called the Nostalgia Machine. And what you do is you put in a year, and it'll give you all the hits from that year, right?
Huh? Really?
Yeah. It's funny though, because you know, 1969 had more good hits than the entirety of the 21st century.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. Like, if you go through it, it's sad but true. But yeah, so we're listening, and I'm like, oh, I want to show you this old DJ mix I used to listen to, like in 2005, from this guy Crafty Cuts. And I was trying to explain to her like why it was such a genius set, because like he would go from like new school breaks to Afrika Mbata to Gloria Estefan. And it was just like this amazing musical journey. Like, it's such a good mix. Crafty Cuts, his 2005 Essential Mix. We're listening to it, and I'm like, man, I want to, you hear some music, and you're like, hey, man, I want to go see this kind of music. I'm like, I'm going to go see what good DJs are coming. And I'm totally out of the loop. So I looked on Resident Advisor, and I saw, I'm like, oh, this place is coming to Treehouse, and Amory works there, so that'd be perfect. So we went to go see this DJ, Danny Casarona, and he was fucking awesome. And I was trying, and like, while we were watching him, I was explaining to her how, like, the job of a DJ, how difficult it is, but people don't even recognize it. You know, he was doing like, he was spinning like a mix between vinyl and MP3s, and like, he did such an amazing job. We were dancing the whole night. We were there till 5 a.m. We got the McDonald's breakfast menu, and then we ate part of the Egg McMuffin in bed and put Hugo in the bed to lick up the crumbs.
That's awesome. And what exactly did he, so he was mixing vinyl and MP3s like at the same time, and he was just
going back and forth, but he was great, man. Like we were there, we were dancing from like midnight to 5 a.m. We didn't sit down. Like we took a break to like go hang out with Amory and shit, but Lamont and Dennis were there. I definitely don't think they were feeling it as much as I was. But yeah, I was dancing all night, dude. And like to see a really good DJ, I don't really think anything quite matches that experience, you know? It's like seeing a good band is cool, but it's not like seeing a good DJ. Because a good DJ will keep you going all night. But when people think of DJs, they think like
Tiesto or
Tiesto.
Skrillex or what's that other guy that's making like that has like a bunch of top 40 hits? Some other guy, but
some other garbage. Yeah. Like Tiesto's the worst offender. Like Tiesto's, because a lot. What it is nowadays? People have such small attention spans that, like, a DJ will cram all of these hits down your. Like no, they don't give you a moment for rest. You know, I think there's nothing more awkward than walking into a club, right? And then they're playing peak hour music at 10 p.m. and the dance floor is empty, and they're just blasting like the loudest. Gnarliest shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the best analogy I heard for it was it's like a DJ set should be like a warm, inviting bath. It shouldn't be like a cross country ski and then a cold shower. And that's what most DJs are nowadays. You know, it's like a cross country ski and then a cold shower. You know, like you're just going, and you're just like bombarded with this horrible fucking music. You know what I mean? Do you find the text message yet?
No. Dang it.
Should have done it before the podcast, Reggie.
Should have.
Even though I shouldn't talk because I was looking for my mom's email that she sent us.
Oh, yeah. She told me at your birthday, she told me she sent us an email.
That's hilarious. That's what you got to do to get in the Black and Jew podcast. No, but I think the episode with Stephanie was so engrossing that we didn't really get to it.
Yeah, we didn't get to it. Stephanie did not. We were on this train with Stephanie and we didn't stop. We kept on going and going.
That was a long episode. That was a great episode.
That was a great episode. You actually extended the time to that episode just to like
added like a half an hour to it. But it was worth it. I feel like we covered a lot of points. Who sent the text message that you're looking for?
Nell.
Nell?
Yeah.
Oh. Still not finding it, huh?
Yeah.
Whatever, I'll keep talking about dance music.
There's actually a really keep talking about dance music because there's a great music festival that's all about like great DJs coming to Miami.
What festival?
3 Points Festival.
Yeah, you know, I could never like seeing DJs at a festival is horrible.
Really? You think so?
I would never see a DJ at a festival because they have different songs they play at festivals and it's a totally different feel because you only get like maybe an hour, you know, at a festival, and that's not enough time for a DJ set. That's like watching a comedian do a 3-minute long DJ set.
Is it a comedian trying to DJ?
No, not a comedian. A comedian doing a three-minute-long comedy set. Because what to do as a DJ, you need at least 3 hours. I won't go see a DJ unless I can see him for 3 hours.
Really?
I won't. Because it's like, what the fuck is the point? Like, you need to... It's like you need to kind of get to know the audience for... You know, to have a DJ set, you can't just fucking shove an hour of DJing down someone's throat because then it's just you're just cramming all your top hits into it and not actually building up a pace or anything like that. You know, I don't think you're gonna find it, Reggie.
I don't think so either.
How about we just do it the next one? We'll read my mom's for this one. We'll do okay. Nell's for the next one.
Fine. Sorry, Nell.
Yeah, we'll do it. Whatever.
Well, see, cause the reason why I want to go to 3 Points, though, is because there's a bunch of DJs that I like that are going to go there. Like Flying Lotus is going to be there.
Cool.
Flying Lotus is amazing. Like, great producer, great DJ.
Yeah.
And I don't know. If you're not hyped about Flying Lotus, it's probably because you haven't
heard. I don't know about Flying Lotus.
Well, check him
out. I've heard the name, but...
He's done a bunch of music. Like, he got his start by doing music for The Bumps and Adult Swim.
Oh, okay.
And then he stopped doing that, and now he's like produced for a bunch of like rappers. He has his own little rap project, and he's just like he's great. He pals around with like people like Thundercat and Erykah Badu, and he was like I think he was kind of like taught a little bit by J Dilla, who's an amazing hip hop producer. God bless him. He passed away due to lupus, and But like Flying Lotus is going to be there. I don't know how many times he's ever here in Miami, but I'm
It's a great reason to see him. And it seems like a DJ like that, you could probably see it an hour.
Yeah.
Just because like he's more like on the hip hop, whatever kind of side.
And then you got people like Kay Tronada is also going to be there. Cashmere Cat. Cashmere Cat is a DJ that's won like competitions, like turntable competitions.
Oh, yeah. Like the, what's that thing called? The turntables competition, the big turntables competition. What's the name of it? DCM. I forget the name of it, but the Scratch Perverts win it. You know the Scratch Perverts?
No.
Those guys are great turntablists. They win like, one of them wins like every year. There's like a big turntables competition and they win all the time. I think that's the fucking coolest name too, the Scratch Perverts.
Yeah. So Cashmere Cat's going to be there. Then you have Thundercat, who's an amazing bassist. Like he's like one of the top bassists now. Like Erykah Badu only records.
One of the top bassists. That's interesting.
Yeah.
The only person I usually hear of when I hear about bassists is Victor Wooten.
Victor Wooten?
Yeah. You know him? He's he played with Blaila Fleck in the Flecktones.
No.
He's a good bassist.
The only other bassist I've ever heard of was Jaco Pastorius.
That's what I was about to say too. Oh. Yeah. Jaco Pastorius and Victor Wooten. Those are like the two famous bassists.
Jaco Pastorius is from Florida.
Yep.
Poor guy. He actually had a drinking problem.
I would not be surprised. Didn't he like get thrown out of a club and that's how he died?
Yeah, that is how he died.
Because he was unplugging someone's equipment, I think, or something. Because he's like, this guy sucks.
And then like Rob Banks, local rapper, is going to be there. He's a fun show. You know what? There's something interesting about rap shows. I mean, you're talking about like, how like you love a good DJ show, like a 3-hour DJ set where it's like from start to finish, it builds this mood up from the beginning, crescendos into something, decrescendos.
Yeah, it's important. That's important. Yeah. That's the important part about it, though. It's like with a good DJ is like not so much where he brings you to, but bringing you back down from that. So it's like if you're a comic, like you know those comics that are screaming all the time. Like, you can't be on that intensity level all the time because you'll turn off your audience.
Yeah.
But the comics know when to scream. You know when to up the intensity, when to intrigue you, when to get serious, and then when to have an absurdist situation. It's like, it's kind of like that, you know? You're bringing someone through a whole, like, you're pacing it and shit.
It's like putting a frog, you use the analogy of a warm bath, but, like, it's like putting a frog in a pot of boiling water. It'll jump out immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, if you turn the water hotter as it's in there, it'll adjust to it. It's like a homeostasis. Like it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what a DJ set is supposed to do.
And then boil you alive at the end.
And then boil you alive, but then bring you back, and you're like, sweet, I was really happy.
That tune fucking boiled me alive, mate. Great tunes. I remember I used to these DJs used to do these like live mixes where you'd have a live chat, and the British people in the chat would spell tune. C-H-O-O-N. Like, kind of like making fun of themselves. You know, like, massive fucking tune, mate.
I like that they actually, like, over there, overseas, they have a really good, like, music culture. Like, because BBC, for example, they have a bunch of music programming.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's like, the essential mixes on the BBC.
Yeah, the essential. They had even
with Diplo. Pete Tong.
Yeah. Triple J, things like that. Annie Mac. I actually saw Annie Mac live. It's very unfortunate that she was only limited to 1 hour.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it was at good times.
What's she doing? Like, what kind of music was it? Like New School Breaks or?
Yeah, like stuff fast, like that. Like, and then like
Big Room New School Breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Like that fast, whatever. Yeah. That's what Crafty Cuts is like. And my favorite little essential mix from 2005.
Damn. I really enjoyed watching Annie Mac. And then she was also paired with Anna Luneau, she's a real good DJ.
Oh, yeah?
She is. The Good Times Miami, everyone was limited to an hour or an hour 30 because it was like this Skrillex-headed DJ thing.
Yeah.
And like out of the whole thing, the only acts I really liked were Anna Luneau, Annie Mac, and Wave Racer. And then the 30 seconds that Chance the Rapper was on. But that's 30 seconds. Yeah, it was a bullshit show. On the flyer, it said, with guest Chance the Rapper. It didn't say with limited appearance of Chance the Rapper. It heavily implied that Chance the Rapper was going to be there and do a nice set. But no, he only appeared for one song, and it was a Skrillex song, which was very good, but still only one song. So
never heard of a Skrillex song being really good. That's new to me.
It's actually very good. Like, if you ever get a chance, Skrillex and Chance, that's his only good song.
Oh, God. Fucking so, Skrillex is the worst, too. It's like Skrillex with dubstep, man. It's like, dubstep is actually really good. If you you ever seen a really good dubstep DJ?
Yeah. I've actually listened to some real good dubstep, like...
It's the shit. It's so much fun, dude. Like, and I feel like dubstep, too, you can only really listen to it live, because you need that fucking bass. Like, you need, like, a big ass...
needs to rattle your organs.
Yeah, you need, like, a huge fucking speaker system to do it.
And I've also seen, like, dubstep, like, experimented with, like, I forget this guy's name, but the way he would do it is that he would sneak the drop on you. Sometimes you wouldn't even get a proper drop. Like, it'd be like, wah, 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 boom, boom. And then it just goes to, like, the heavy yeah, bass hits. It doesn't even go, like, pew. No, nothing like that.
It's fucking stupid. People need to understand subtlety, you know? These fucking plebeians need to understand subtlety. Because that's what the greatest, any sort of art, it comes through subtlety. That's when the goodness comes. It's like eating McDonald's cheeseburger. It's good, right? But not because of the subtlety, not because it's a well-crafted meal. It's the same thing with dance music that I think a lot of people don't understand, because they only see like the really garbage, like Avicii or fucking David Guetta or, oh God, just there's all these just such garbage, like... This guy that I saw on Friday was fucking great. I got shit faced, and like I was there for like 5 hours, which was cool. And Christine too, who like is not, and we were just drinking. She wasn't even really drinking that much, but it was just really good because like a good fucking DJ creates like a narrative, you know?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are rolling their eyes like, well, you don't know what you're talking about, but it's like because you've never seen a good DJ or you're not open to it. I think sometimes people see DJs too and they're like, they just want to leave as soon as possible.
Like a lot of people just think like, oh, that dude just pressed play. Yeah. He just pressed play and then moved his arms.
And by the way, everybody, if you're a fucking good DJ, you will not have a pre-recorded set. That's the people, that's for the horrible DJs that you deserve to get ripped off for watching. You know, like if you watched, like if you feel ripped off because you watched Steve Aoki or the Swedish House Mafia or David Guetta and they had pre-recorded sets, good. Because you should deserve to get ripped off, because you need to be more discerning with where your dance music dollars goes. Like, dude, John Digweed? He was like a lot bigger in the Progressive House days. He owns Bedrock, this label. Every winter music conference, he'd come to the Vagabond. He's one of those like names that kind of precede himself. And you know when you hear like a big name, and you're like, oh, it's just the hype can't be that justified. You know, like he's good, but like I'm sure like. And then you see him, and you're like, the hype is totally justified. Dude, this guy would come in. He'd spin from like midnight, or he'd spin from like midnight to like 8 a.m.
Totally,
he'd spin for 8 fucking hours, and that's every fucking goddamn ridiculous. Second of it was amazing. Like he was so good. Like I just get giggly thinking about it.
When I went to that Soulection showcase,
yeah,
there were the people there were Esta, Mr. Carmack, The Hooligan, Joe K, Andre Power, and I think that was the lineup. And maybe like there's definitely been a shift in like DJing culture where like, you know, the more recent big names just probably spin for an hour, but it's probably because there was also a showcase of like 5 DJs.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get everyone their appropriate amount of time. The show lasted from 8 to 5 a.m. But what I'm trying to say is like, even with like only an hour set,
yeah,
I still got like the full experience. Like,
but if you got a hip hop DJ, right? If you got someone that's not a house or a tech, like you can get a good hour set. Because they fit a lot of shit into that hour, you know?
There's like, and there were, yeah, that's very true. A hip-hop DJ, I wasn't actually considering the difference between a hip-hop DJ and then like, but, well, these guys are like, yeah, they mainly do like hip-hop beats and like producing, and they do DJ work also, because that's like the whole thing about the label.
Yeah.
But from start to finish, it was so much fun. Like when Esta got on. Esta's the nicest guy ever. I took a picture with him. Yeah. And he's like, he's amazing. When he got on, the whole room moved. Like once he got on and, you know, he started off his set like real light, real slow. And then it picked up. Everyone got off their seats. Even the bartenders were looking like, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah.
It was so amazing to see that happen. And it was so much fun.
There's nothing as, it's a, having a good DJ set, like listening to one. it's a lot different than, it's a much different artistic appreciation than other things, you know?
And that's actually one of the points I wanted to bring up earlier, where I was going to talk about rap shows.
Yeah.
I love hip hop. I love rap.
Yeah. Well,
hip hop's the culture, rap's the music that came from the culture. I like rap music.
Yeah.
And I've been to tons of rap shows, and I'm going to be the first one to say that a rap show is not like, it's not, most of the time, it's not really well crafted. Like, yeah. Unless you have, unless it's a group, a duo, or like, one of the most interesting rap shows I've ever been to was for this rap group from Seattle called The Satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's two women and they shred. Yeah. One of them's like a neo-soul, like R&B bluesy type of singer. The other one has like this like Q-tip, like, you know, like this really nice, natural, like old school flow. And they just come together brilliantly, right? And it was so much fun. I was in Smith College. So you can kind of guess what.
Where's Smith College?
Smith College is an all-girl college up in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
I was in Smith College. There was like only maybe 25 people there because it was a free show as well.
Yeah.
It was a free show. And like they're right there with a stage that was like just a 12, 6 inches above the floor. Just, you know, just to give them like a grounded surface. And it felt like, you ever seen that painting that was used for, I think, like a Marvin Gaye album? I think it's called The Sugar Shack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it felt just like that because they're singing, they're rapping, and they're doing like their little dance moves while up on stage, and everybody was getting into it.
Yeah.
And that's a really well-crafted rap show because they actually had choreography. They had like, you know, banter between themselves and like just the way they approached like the mic and like everyone and how they engage really made a real good rap show.
Nice.
And like in a rap show, you have, if it's just one person, you know, they'll have a DJ in the back and that DJ will start off the set by doing like a little bit of their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, you'll have the rapper come in some bombastic way. He'll do like a couple songs and then he'll stop and he's like, what's up? You know, insert city name here, give high fives, give a little banter. And then next song, that's usually the structure.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a group, the group will, you know, come out, jump around, throw water bottles, like, you know, stuff like that. There's, like, rap is not like the Four Tops. They're not going to, like, all come in, harmonize, slide in, you know, that Motown slide, and then everybody goes crazy, and then they start dancing. You know, it's not like that, and very few rap shows are like that. So the most fun you'll ever have at a rap show is, like, when there's a feature act, like, when there's, like, two or three guys in a song. And they all have like, and that song's banging, and they all have like great rhymes. And it's good to see a rap show live. Like, I've seen very, very good rap shows, like the one at Smith College. And every time I've seen Danny Brown, because in a rap show, like in the example of Danny Brown, I've seen him every time he goes down here.
Yeah.
Because his energy, his like banter with the crowd, he's the only rapper I know that sounds just like his recordings. And that is a very valuable thing because you'll listen to a rapper.
Does he rap over the instrumental or is there vocals? Because I've seen some rappers
That's the other point I want to bring up. Some rappers just rap over their vocals.
Like, are you that fucking lazy that you don't have a fucking instrumental track?
Yeah, some rappers sometimes it's just to like keep up with whatever it is they're doing. Kind of like when let's just say, I think there was like some controversy about Ciara. She was lip syncing, but that's because Ciara was doing backflips in her shows and like really complex dance moves. So I'm like, all right, you know what? I kind of forgive Ciara. But like other rappers, you know, just trying to like keep up or like trying to like have this sort of like swagger or like aesthetic on stage, they will use their reusable vocals. Very few rappers, not actually very few, But Danny Brown, for example, it's just him. No vocals. His DJ Skywalker mixes the actual music.
Oh, nice.
Live. Like, it's not press play, no instrumental track. It's like he's doing the instrumentals. You see him like get the sample, ba 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 ba, alter it, and then like mixes it right there. And then it's the next song, and then the next song, and then the next song. And just his energy and the way he carries himself and just everything from start to finish. Great, great show. So like rap shows, they vary, and it's kind of hard to make something out of it to make it a good, like, good performance, you know, to make it an entertaining performance.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, you'll get a lot of like, hands up, hands up, hands up, please, hands up.
I feel like if you know, if they're feeling it, then maybe they're correct. Because, you know, I've only been to one rap show, and that was Ludacris when I was in high school, and it was a bunch of white people at UM. And it was crazy how many songs he had that were hits, because, like, he didn't play anything that wasn't a hit, but he had so many hits.
Ludacris.
It was pretty fun, though. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Ludacris is, Ludacris was very interesting. He was, like, the king of the 90s. Damn.
Yeah.
It was crazy how good Ludacris was.
It was almost ludicrous.
Yeah.
And I was never really into, I was never into popular hip hop, like, or not, I wouldn't say popular, but, like, you know, radio hip hop. Like, yeah. I listened to the Black Star album probably 100 times.
Yeah,
you know?
I have that album.
Yeah, I listened to that so many fucking times. Like, I dug that shit, you know. I dug Ludacris. I like, he was pretty much the only popular rapper I liked. But, like, when I went on that nostalgia machine, I went through all of high school, and I'm like, I hated all of these songs. Like, it does not make me nostalgic. It makes me seething with anger. Like, fucking, like, Three Doors Down, or like, or like fucking Destiny's Child. Oh my god,
you hate Destiny's Child?
I fucking hate Destiny's Child.
Get out of here.
Dude, when that song Bills came out, I was like, this is the fucking worst abortion of a song I've ever heard in my entire life, dude. I'm like, this is hell. Like, hell would be listening to Bills over and over again, because it's the fucking worst song I've ever heard in my goddamn life. Every single song that fucking
here,
Destiny's Child, that piece of shit group,
God damn it,
they were so fucking bad.
Destiny's Child is fantastic. You know,
horrible.
You're horrible.
They're
Destiny's
so
Child
fucking
is great.
Boring. God damn it. I want to claw my ears out when I listen to Destiny's Child.
Stop right there. Did you like TLC?
No.
You didn't like TLC?
No, I did not like TLC.
Oh my
gosh. I hated Boyz II Men. I hated TLC. Boyz II Men was also torture to me. I fucking hated.
Shut up. You suck, man.
I hated
TLC
all of that
was
shit.
Great.
I hated them.
The song where it's like, what was that song called?
Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls?
That was good, but I'm talking about another one.
The
one where it's like something, something Busta. What's that song
called? Oh, yeah. I don't know, but I hate it.
You suck.
Like that song, Scrubs? God, just,
yeah, Scrubs. There you go.
That's the worst song ever.
That's the best song ever.
That is so... And then it's like, oh, and they had a pigeon song, and that's hilarious. No, none of this was funny. This was all very bad. Maybe it's like my youthful rebellion coming out, because like I liked like Green Day and shit when I was in middle school.
They suck, man.
Yeah, Green Day is 100 fucking times better
Destiny's
Child.
No, they're
they
not.
Suck. Destiny's Child is the worst fucking thing
Green
ever.
Green Day was the worst
Dude,
fucking
Bills,
thing ever.
Bills, like that is the worst song.
I'll listen to
that
Bills.
That is the most boring fucking
piece of
shit
song. You know what's the boring fucking piece of shit song? American Idiot. Go
yeah, dude, of course,
that.
Bro. Like that.
That was still made by Green Day.
Yeah, Green Day.
So you got to swallow
I'm
that.
I'm talking about Green Day, all right, in like the late 90s. Like, I'm talking like Insomniac Green Day, fucking like
Insomnia Suck Green Day.
Dookie, right?
Dookie. I don't even have to change that one. Green Day is Dookie. Didn't Green Day make a song about wanting to fuck a dog in the ass?
No, I think that was Blink 182.
Oh, yeah, that was Blink 182. Never mind.
Yeah, look. All right. Look, I'm not going to say that they're not talented singers or whatever, but they put it to poor use because that fucking Bills song is the worst piece of shit that I've ever heard in my entire life. I fucking hate it. And I never will ever come around. And I think Beyonce is much better than anything with Destiny's Child. I'm see why she left. All right. Cause they were fucking dragging her down. They were dragging down Bay.
There are, I happen to be friends with a lot of people that have very strong opinions about Destiny's Child and Beyonce in general.
Yeah.
They're almost tiny Beyonce historians. So, you know what?
And I did not like Jay-Z either.
You didn't like Jay-Z?
No, dude. I remember
fucking
Hard Knock Life song came out and all my rich, I wouldn't say friends, but all the rich Jewish kids I knew that wanted to be thugs and fucking my middle school were like, yeah, it's fuck some gangster shit. I'm like, this is not good.
I don't know what it is about rap music, but it makes white people retarded. I don't know what
the
it
rap
is.
Menace.
I like, we finally got it. You know, y'all are putting fluoride in the water, giving us smallpox blankets, but we're making your kids stupid.
Smallpox blankets? That wasn't black people.
No, I'm talking about like white people. Like y'all gave us fluoride in the water. Y'all gave us smallpox blankets.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But like, I've been like all the rap shows here in Miami. It's all like, I didn't know rap, you know, white people existed, and then they all go to the rap shows. And just the things that they do and say, oh my gosh.
God, I don't never understood the whole I want to be a thug thing like that the kids were going through when I was like in my fucking temple. It's like your dad's a lawyer. Like, do you think that if any of these guys that sell fuck, that are pushing blow or whatever the fuck, selling drugs, if they had the opportunity to get a master's in business like you do, do you think they would be doing any of that? No, they would not.
Like their yarmulke on top of their durag.
Yeah. Just like, shut up, fucking Jimmy Rabinowitz. Your dad's a fucking the richest fucking criminal attorney in the state. Like, you don't need to slang drugs. Give me a fucking break.
It's the non-funny answer. It's just hegemonic masculinity, dude.
Yeah,
the funny answer is that they're just lame.
I think it's a little bit of both.
A little bit of funny, a little bit of serious. It's just, it's so, the only time, like, there's a joke by Donald Glover, who's also a rapper, and I've seen him come here live. Like, I've seen him live. He pulls on a great show.
Yeah.
Live band. That's another interesting thing about rap shows. Some people actually get a live band behind them to do all the, you know.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's fantastic. He has a live band, a screen that projects images that reflect, like, the song of the album and stuff like that. Or, like, that give, like, a intro video to the song. It's really cool.
That's
like,
cool.
The way he crafts, like. Childish Gambino is a very interesting artist because his latest album, because of the internet, really kind of opened my eyes to what like a project could be like for an artist or for any artist that puts out work through through sound, like a comedian or like, because he made a script for his album. He also made a short film for his album and his script at every act had one song part of the album.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting to see him blend that work all together to make the album a one giant collective like experience. And he himself went through a change because of the album to it's kind of like it's some real art shit that he's doing. It might not have been received well. I know a lot of people have very strong opinions about it.
Yeah.
But I liked his whole aesthetic during the time of the project and everything he was going through and everything he was doing. Short film, script, leaking the album, the way he looked and the way he conducted himself.
Yeah.
He wore the same trench coat and shorts and shirt for the whole time that album was dropping. And like, he called it Because of the Internet, and it's like, he blended all these elements together.
Yeah, that's some real art shit.
Yeah, and it was very interesting to see that. And that album made me really think critically about like what I could do with comedy to make it something like that, not more relevant but more I guess evocative.
Yeah,
because you know, a comedy, you make an hour, you release that hour, and the most interesting thing anyone's ever done with releasing an hour is making it $5 and DRM free.
Yeah,
that's honestly the most interesting thing that's been done to comedy. And I think there could be so much more because there's a really interesting thing you could do like with like comedy's not music.
Yeah.
And comedy builds upon itself in a very different way. And I think like just making it $5 and DRM free is severely lacking. And you could really do something.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I haven't really been paying that much attention to Childish Gambino, even though I've heard a lot about it, but
he's really.
I've never really been into big production values when it comes to music, but I guess it's like a cross between two things.
Yeah.
Like for me, I like it just as bare bones as possible. That's why I hate Tiesto. No, actually, I know a DJ that's like this international touring DJ, and like we were talking about Tiesto, and we were at like this large dinner, and I was like, oh wait, before I say this, does anyone here like Tiesto? And everyone's like, no. And then he's like, why you do that, mate? I'm like, you know, I just, a lot of people like Tiesto a lot. And I want to, before I talk about how much I hate him, I want to make sure that I'm not bothering anyone. He's like, no, listen, mate, you need to let everyone know how much you hate Tiesto. Because Tiesto is fucking horrible. Let me tell you something, all right? And this guy probably has met Tiesto or knows him or has been on festivals with him or some shit. And he's like, I don't even think Tiesto likes Tiesto's music. Okay. Which I would not be surprised.
Do you think you get to that point in your career where you're like so top 40 that
if you're fucking Tiesto, because he doesn't evolve, you know? That's the thing. It's like imagine if you stay, because like, you know, a lot of arts, different arts have that introductory artist where it's like before you develop good taste, you think it's really good until you really understand it and you become, I wouldn't say maybe jaded, whatever, but like, so you really have a more nuanced understanding of it that you're like, oh, I thought that was good, but what was I thinking? Right. Yeah. And like as an artist, maybe you start at that point, but eventually you grow. But if you're the kind of artist that doesn't grow like Tiesto, you're just fucking, you're collecting a big paycheck, but you hate yourself. Tiesto get paid $70,000 to spend for an hour and a half during Winter Music Conference.
Woo.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So he likes a paycheck, I'm sure, but it's like one of those jobs where you're just going in and you fucking hate your life, you know? Mm. And he needs a big piece of shit laser light show. I don't like Tiesto, obviously. But
yeah, you have some very strong
opinion. I don't like what he represents. I don't like how, like, I feel like people, it deprives people of the joy, the potential joy they could feel by seeing an actual good DJ.
Yeah.
By seeing this fucking asshat, this Dutch asshat.
This Dutch asshat.
Playing fucking tear, headache-inducing trance music that just is just, ugh, God.
What if he just genuinely likes what he's doing?
I doubt it.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate
here. Do you
see
his face when he DJs? He doesn't enjoy it.
I think maybe he doesn't enjoy it, but there's people that still do. And those people are not, I don't think those people are wrong for enjoying
it.
Yeah,
I guess not. I'm going on a rant on Tiesto, but
I get what you, I mean, I totally get the whole concept of like that introductory artist. Like,
and he's so fucking lazy too. Like I had to review one of his albums and I'm like, you didn't even fucking master this. Like, you didn't even check the levels on this. Like, the bass line, like, the bass line is so much louder than the melody. Like, you didn't give a fuck. You just, like, all right, here's my paycheck. It's just so fucking lazy.
I think, whatchamacallit, like, yeah, like, people do go through those introductory artists. Like, I remember being really into, Common. Common's great. He's fantastic. Nothing against him. But like Common was that guy where it's like, I listened to him first and I'm like, cool, let me see what else Common does.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're surfing the internet and you're like, what's potholes in my blog? Let me go there. And they're talking about Common, but they also talk about Blue and like people like Shabazz Palaces and you're like, oh, what are all these hip hop artists? It's very interesting. And I like that whole like discovery and I like growth, not only for the listener, but also for the artist. Like,
yeah. I'm so out of it on music, and that really drives a point home when I talk to you about it, because no one that you mentioned except for maybe Common and Destiny's Child, I have any idea who that
is. It's also because I do nothing.
You also do nothing. Well, yeah, that's true. All right, so before we go, let's read this listener letter. Please discuss, should recreational pot be legalized in Florida? How would this affect the black and Jew populations? Who cares about anyone else? Sincerely, my mom. Well, actually, she signs it off. Respectfully submitted, Jewish mother.
Okay. I like how...
So should recreational pot be legalized in Florida? Yes.
Thank you, because we are the exact vehicle to answer this question.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. My girlfriend, she has some very interesting views on it, which I think are actually pretty... I actually kind of resonate with those, too.
Yeah.
It should just be free. Like, it's just like tampons. It should just be free. Like, why do we want to make it a business? It's weed for a reason. It's called weed for a reason.
Well, dude, if you have any good, it's going to be a business, you know? Because not everyone's going to want to put in the effort to make.
True.
Like, pay for the materials and costs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
She thinks it should be free. How does that work, though?
How does that work?
I don't get it.
Well, like, it grows like crazy, man. It grows like crazy. And you know how... Let's see.
But it would be free quote unquote free if it was legalized, because that means that you could just...
Oh, you could grow it yourself?
Yeah, I mean, because like, or you just let it grow and then you can harvest it. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, nothing is free. There's no such thing as a free lunch, as they say.
True.
Because there's no such thing as free, because it's like, you know, I know that people say like, yeah, man, if fucking weed was legalized, I'd grow my own shit. No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
You'd not want to, like, if I smoked weed and I would know for a fact, it's like, oh, do you brew your own beer at home? No, because it takes time and money and effort, you know, and it's like, or bake your own bread. I mean, I do, but most people, 99% of the people don't, because it's too much effort, you know? Yeah.
I guess, you know what probably irks me?
What?
Well, first let me just answer the initial question. Yes, I do think it should be legalized.
Yeah.
Why? Because one of my main things is like, we're putting these kids in jail for a crazy amount of time for just having a little dime bag. We're wasting tax money on keeping these people in here that did honestly nothing. I've never known weed to, like, you know, make you go on a killing spree, or like, I've never known anyone that actively smokes weed to want to do bad, you know?
A Taco Bell quesadilla killing spree, maybe.
Yeah, that's a Taco Bell quesadilla killing spree, maybe. But never anything that warrants to be in jail for 20 years.
Yeah.
All right? That's not... No. We should just stop that already.
It makes no sense that it's illegal.
It makes no sense. And then...
And I don't even smoke weed. I'd like to point that out.
Neither do I.
Yeah, we don't... Here on the Black... We're drug-free at the Black and Jew podcast, but... We think it's fucking stupid.
Yeah. And then, you know, we actually have, you know, evil people like cartels and stuff that catapult it into the U.S. Look that up, guys. That's a real thing. That catapult it into the U.S. And, you know, heads are rolling wherever they are.
Yeah.
Literally. And we need to take that power away from them. By the way, I apologize if I have a very simplistic view that I can't back up with many facts, but this is the way I feel, and I think...
But why is it... It's really... Because prohibition does not work.
Yeah. Has been proven.
It's like, regardless of your moral stance on it, regardless of if it does have really harmful effects in society, it doesn't work. Like, it hasn't been working. And like, if you understand anything about economics, all right? If you're restricting supply of something... The price will go up. All right. Cocaine has never been cheaper in the history of ever, right? Because you're not doing a good job at restricting supply. The war on drugs, you're fucking losing it.
Yeah.
You know, so why not just make it legal?
Yeah.
You know,
just make it legal.
Yeah. And it's funny. I was actually talking with my girlfriend's mom about this, and she's like, I feel like pot makes people like, lack motive, like sometimes people smoke it and it you know kills their motivation or whatever, but it's like if you're have no motivation,
you don't need
because like I know people, I'm not going to name names, but I know people that are heads of large companies that make millions and millions, control millions of dollars in revenue a year, people that are lawyers. I knew, I had a friend, she was a lawyer in like the biggest law firm, like one of the big three law firms in the world. And she smoked weed every day.
Every day.
Smoke weed every day.
No, yeah. I also know people that balance their work life, school life so well. Way better than me. And I don't even smoke at all.
Yeah.
And they are the tops, you know? Like, they're fantastic, phenomenal people.
They're the tops.
Yeah.
Hey, you're the tops, kid.
You're very
even
keen.
Though you smoke that funky reefer, you're still the tops.
You smoke the devil's lettuce, but guess what? You're the bee's knees.
You're the pants pajamas. You're the tops. Yeah, I think it's an easy question, but some people don't agree with it. But I think that people that are, even if you have a moral problem with weed, it's like, making it illegal does not solve any of the problems associated with it. Like you know, just like prohibition.
The reason it's a
prohibition
problem.
Failed with alcohol and it's failing with weed, but for some reason we keep it in place. I think probably because there's more of a cultural attachment to alcohol that really doesn't.
Interesting.
That because like, you know, weed, and I know stoners, Benjamin Franklin and George Washington grew a lot of hemp. I know, you don't have to tell us, but...
Hemp's a totally different thing,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's the male plant. But anyways, even if they did smoke weed, it's not as ingrained in American culture as alcohol. Like, you can't, I think that it's been able to be illegal for so long because, like, you can't separate civilization from alcohol.
Yeah, you can't. You know, cause, that's the first thing we did.
Yeah, because alcoholic beverages have sustained and hydrated us for millennia. You know,
because like, you know, water was hard to purify.
Yeah, we didn't really. But make alcohol, juice. If you had to boil it, you had to, you know, sterilize it before exactly. you made it. So, like America, I think it used to be in like the colonial times, 99% of all. And I'm making that statistic up, but it's some huge number like that. That almost every apple in the United States was
for cider. For cider, cider,
yeah, for hard cider.
Johnny Appleseed never made apple juice.
Like, yeah,
that's a lie. If you think he. Everyone loved him.
Or to eat Redly Delicious apples? Like, no.
No, those are delicious apples, yes, but everyone loved them because of hard cider. They're like, sweet, we got fucking apples. Let's make hard cider.
That's what it was there for, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was there for.
Oh, and it was like lower in alcohol than it is today, but you know, it's like, so that's harder to prohibit.
Yeah.
Prohibit. There you go.
That's so, yeah.
So, yeah, I think weed should be legal, and I think it's more of a menace to society to not have weed legal than it is to actually have it legal. And legalization, like, people are going to go crazy for a little bit, I think, with smoking up as much as they can. But I don't know how it's been going in Colorado and Washington, but it'll calm down and then it'll just be like some normal part of society.
That's what Obama should do during lame duck, like his lame duck period. Just start being crazy. Start trying to push a bunch of things.
Come on, Obama, you're the cool president. You're like a cool dad. There's never been a cool president like Obama.
Except no. Bill.
Bill was a actually, no, that's true. Bill was cool. Oh, he was a saxophonist, but not as cool as fucking Obama. He couldn't ball like Obama.
There was a real interesting story about Bill where, like, you know, they always let them conduct, like, oh, hey, president, conduct a little bit. You know, don't. Bill's like, no, I got this. He pulls out his white gloves and then starts conducting them professionally.
Oh, yeah? Conducting who?
Like this like high school band.
Oh,
like
yeah?
like a really good high school band.
Yeah.
Like they always let the president, oh, here's a baton. You can try conducting. And then he's like, I got this. Oh, nice. No. He pulled out his own baton from his suit.
Nice.
And then started like conducting. That is pretty
cool. I guess, yeah, Obama's cool. So I guess what we're saying is that Republican presidents aren't cool.
Didn't they tell him to not talk about women? Like they're going who? Through like seminars, Republican like candidates. Like, they're going through seminars to not talk. Like, they have people telling them, don't talk about these things. Women, immigration, and everything else.
Don't talk about women because we know how much you hate them.
Yeah.
And how much you want to legislate against their vaginas. All right, so you got to go to work. I know. So you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. We actually tackled great
quite
things.
Quite a few things. Yeah, I got a little impassioned about how much I hate Tiesto.
Yeah, you did.
But, yeah, man. Guys got to see a good DJ.
Is it cool if I plug some podcasts I've been listening to?
No.
Okay. Yeah,
no, it's not.
Cool.
No, I what I meant to say was, no, it's not a problem.
Oh, it's no. It's
I don't know why you said it's cool, and I said no, but never mind. Just sorry.
I've been listening. Like, if you like the Black and Jew podcast, you will. Okay. You know, I was gonna make a joke, but you'll probably like these two. I like them a lot, and I, you know, I'm all about like giving people like, you know, they're doing well. Give him a shout out. All
right. Who? I'm excited.
The Goose Down.
The Goose Down. Never heard of that.
The Goose Down with comedian Jasper Redd and Kimberly Clark.
Uh-huh.
That's a really interesting podcast about as many episodes in as we are, actually.
Cool.
And they're great comedians. They have a great podcast. It's formatted really well, and it's on MaximumFun.org. The next one is from Grantland. It's called Girls in Hoodies.
Girls in Hoodies.
Yeah, Girls in Hoodies. Check that out, guys. Those two podcasts are amazing.
Where are they based? Are they around here? Or?
No, I think one of them is in California. The other one is also in California, I want to say.
All right.
Yeah, great. Cool. And as always, you can find Michael Marinoff at Michael Marinoff.
Mike Marinoff on Twitter.
Mike Marinoff on Twitter.
And Mike Marinoff Comedy on
and
Facebook.
Mike Marinoff Comedy
and then Reggie. Thing. Where can the people find?
You can find me on Twitter at @Ratchet_Reggie and Instagram @Black_Dottis.
All right. Well, until next time, guys.
See ya.